My name is Ryan Parker. I'm the middle school intern here at Champion Forest. I see a lot. What's that? Cool. I see a lot of familiar faces. If you are new at Champion Forest, welcome. We love that you've joined us tonight. We would love for you to continue to join us and to be a part of our family. For those that you have your Bible tonight, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So Genesis is the first book, so it's pretty easy to find because I don't know where any of the other Old Testament books are. So that's pretty good. So go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Tonight is going to be pretty fun because it's something that hits home for me, and I'd love to dive into it, but I wouldn't want to do it before we went to the Lord with a word of prayer. So bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you decided to wake us up for another day on your earth. God, we thank you for everything that you have given us. Father, whether that be material things, but most importantly, who you have made us to be with our abilities. So Father, as I speak tonight, pray that I move out of the way so that you may speak what it is that you want these young men and these young women here to hear tonight. So, Father, we love you. We pray that our hearts are open to be able to receive the message. We pray that you just show us who we really are tonight, and especially because of your Son. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I have a question for all of us tonight, and we're going to answer a pretty big question. Why did God make me the way I am? Why did God make me the way I am? You don't have to be a Christian to be able to ponder this. This is something that everybody either wrestles with or they thought about it. I really don't know if this question ever goes away because we continue to build as far as our personality and who we are as we get older in life. So this is a good thing that we can go ahead and address this question now. So the first thing I want to do is I have a picture of me from back in my prime, if you want to go ahead and put that up on there. There he is. That's me in the front, by the way, looking good. So towels were in back in 2004. This is me in eighth grade going into ninth grade, by the way. So I was a little bit chubbier. Oh, and if you're skinny, by the way, in the back, don't worry. He ended up playing college football. The guy in the front did not. So that was me in eighth grade going into ninth grade. I was a little bit overweight. You can't tell because I'm wearing probably my mom's nightgown is what it looks like right there. And so I like to hide it pretty well. And I was very, very insecure. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I think, or I know we all fight some sort of insecurity, just whether we say it or not. I'm pretty sure we all fight those types of insecurities. And the reason that's like that is because all we are thrown at all day from the media, from movies, from TV, from your cell phones, from anything, we're thrown at, this is how we should look, this is how we should act, we should be this funny, we should have this personality. But every single time, it seems like there's something different. Here's what I mean. So what I've done, if you go ahead and put up the next slide, we're going to go through some of the decades and just some of the years for some of the cool fashions. So in this one, I don't really know who's the chick and who's the guy. So that was the thing in the 1600s. So 1600s, look at what was popular. Pale skin, modesty, yeah. Obesity proved wealth, and breathing was optional. So I don't know if y'all have ever seen those movies to where the girls wear those super tight, I think they're called corsets, I don't know, I've only tried on a few. The really super tight corsets. And people would think, man, those are really hard to breathe in. It actually wasn't the breathing that was terrible. They wanted to look so good that they would put on these corsets that They learned how to breathe, but it would squish their organs. And people died from organ failure to, I know I got a little deep on organ failure real quick, but seriously, that's the things they would do just to look the way that people thought they should look. And on the right, I think, is a guy, and man skirts were in. So Hey Arnold got on that too. Feather hats, expensive fabric, I guess that's still a thing, and leggings. So I haven't worn leggings in a while, but that looks completely different from what we've seen. So we'll go to the next one, and I believe that is the 1700s. There's G-Wash. So white wigs, I never got that, white wigs. Large coats and wooden teeth. I don't think wooden teeth were necessarily in, but that just goes to show you that it's not necessarily all about fashion. It's about how far we'll go just to look normal or just to look like we belong. And then the next one, I think we have 1850s or 1800s and early 1900s. So we have 1800s classic suits as day wear. They just wear them during the day. No man of upper class was seen without a top hat, a cane, or a three-piece suit with an outer coat. Who's ever seen a Western or anything like that? Yeah? Randy, you've never seen a Western? You've seen a few. Okay. So in a Western, I don't know if you've seen them, but basically these guys are out in like the desert, whether it's like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, what have you, and they're riding on their horses, and it's always beaming hot, but they're wearing all of these clothes. They make Eskimos look like they're wearing bikinis. Like they're just covered up, and there's no AC, but they're just walking around like it's no big deal because it was in style and they wanted to look cool. 1900s, mustaches and top hats, which if you're a hipster, that's still in. If you were obese, you were considered wealthy. Actually, the whole being skinny thing is actually a relatively new deal. Throughout all of history, if you were obese, that means you were well-fed, which means you had money to be able to buy food and to eat food, means you were well taken care of. So as we moved into the later 1900s, go ahead with the next one. We're going to move into the 1940s. World War II caused rationing of fabrics, so dress patterns were kept simple and modest. And the guys there look like they're all pants. So they had high-waisted pants way up here. They had high waters. Sometimes I have high waters and I don't notice. So if y'all see me, let me know. And then we move into the next one here, which is going to be the 1960s. So let's check out this one. 60s and 70s, excuse me. The 60s and 70s was going to be men and women both wore bell-bottom jeans. My dad wouldn't let me put a picture of them up on here. I asked him. I probably shouldn't have asked him. Men and women both wore bell-bottom jeans, and the hippie look was in. Anything too stiff or formal was out. Also, bathing was discouraged. My dad let me know that one, that bathing was discouraged. Caden, I feel like that's true for you too, so that's good. 80s and 90s, let's check out what we had. Different fashions here. Jeans everywhere. Jeans everywhere. So you had denim jeans. My dad still has his denim Wrangler jean jacket. You bet I wear that sometimes, but I don't go out in public. And then there's also just jeans for the top and the bottom. And then for the 90s, you have plaid, floral patterns, overalls, women with the high-waisted shorts. Girls, I think that's back. Isn't that back, the high-waisted shorts? Guys, is that back for y'all too?
Nope.
No, not yet. Just wait. Big, you had big hair, which I feel like was a thing from 70s, 80s, 90s. And it's still in. And then you had grunge. I feel like that could say 2015 almost. So then we move into the 2000s. And this is when I was a teenager. Did everybody ever see Lizzie McGuire?
Yeah.
Dude, y'all were born around that time. Okay, maybe you. Okay.
Reruns,
okay. And then you had Avril Lavigne. So like the whole like punk rocker chick thing was in. Like that was pretty cool. I don't know if we had seen that anything as far as females went. So then we have the next one, and that's going to be this. We have completely moved backwards. The 90s nerd, that could say 2015 as well, just not good on computers, is the 2012 hipster. So what we find here, guys, is as we move throughout the years, we can see almost no consistency in what the world thinks is cool. We had wooden teeth and leggings and man skirts, and, well, top hats are kind of cool. But you've seen every single decade, and it feels like as we get closer to 2015 and this year, it seems like that time span of changing is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's because the world has no idea what it thinks is cool anymore. And if we're honest, we're all kind of out there just chasing it. And you get something this time, and in 6 months, if you have that thing, you ain't cool. And that's exhausting if we're trying to chase something like that. So our next thing is going to be, so if we're chasing something all the time and it's just so inconsistent, the question is, if you don't want to get tired, what is out there that is something that is consistent? If there's something consistent, something that is beyond what people say is cool or what you have to do or what they're doing or what he's doing, what she's doing, if there's something consistent, then wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Is there something that God has designed us for? Well, let's do that. If you're in Genesis 1, go ahead and turn with me. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So here it is. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. It repeated it for a reason. Male and female, he created them. So what does that mean to be made in the image of God? So does God look like a human? Well, the Bible says that we can't see God. So we know that in the image of God, that means that we have certain qualities and we have, that's going to be like emotions. God has emotions, right? The Bible says that God grieved. The Bible says that heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. We rejoice, we grieve. The Bible also says that God has a will, right? So God makes decisions. He wants certain things to happen. We have those same things. Sometimes they're not lined up with his. Sometimes they are. So if God has all these things, that actually allows us to be able to communicate with God and have a relationship with him. So if we're made in his image, so if God is perfect and he does not make mistakes and he is consistent, then maybe this consistent thing is what we should be shooting for instead of chasing all of these different trends throughout the years. So if we're made in his image, y'all out there, y'all answer this question. Who do a lot of people say, and not to bash on science teachers, but who do a lot of people say that humans came from? Monkeys. If we came from monkeys. Notice how he said, "And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind." And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So if we just evolved from monkeys, well, people say, "Well, yeah, we evolved from monkeys. I've seen the science. It's legit. No. Well, if you say monkeys are, they're really smart and they know sign language. Dude, monkeys throw their own poop, okay? We were created. Hopefully you don't do that. Not anymore. Monkeys, we were created much higher and in a much more special way and a specific purpose so that we can have a relationship with God. So if you have your Bibles, we'll turn to the next one and we'll see what else God has to say about it. So this is going to be in Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. If you don't have your Bible, I'll go ahead and just read it to you. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. For you formed, he's speaking to God, you formed my inward parts. It's everything in here. Think of everything in the mind. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. If y'all ever read Psalm, it's one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. And it might take you a while because there's a lot in there, but it's such good stuff. And it's just people pouring out their hearts to God. And right here, he is saying, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. That means that we weren't cranked out of some factory. We weren't put on some conveyor belt and God just kind of shoved us out there, some sort of like Sam's Club, mass produced. You came in a box and you and everybody went. He says that he carefully knitted you in your mother's womb. That's pretty cool. He says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're a Jesus nerd like me, you will have a note in your Bible that says, the Hebrew actually says that that can be translated to fearfully set apart. So that's just adding on to what he just said, that you weren't cranked out as a part of some mass production, that you're fearfully set apart from others. So that God didn't look at Caden, God didn't look at Mitch, or God didn't look at somebody and then say, okay, I'm going to make another one like them. No, because he's God and he has set you apart and made you specifically and exactly the way you are. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So even the Bible says that God has put that in our soul to know how we know in our soul how precious and special even one human life is. Even that guy that you hate at work, or even, I probably don't work yet, even that guy you hate at school or you don't really like, or that girl that's giving you a hard time or something like that, we have to remember that God specifically made them the way they are just as well. And then the third verse, if you're turning with me, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there's three things here that really pop out to me. The first thing is that we were created for good works. So we were created to be light in a dark world. So it's not like he created us and then just said, go. Okay, just go. And the second thing is we were created beforehand. We were prepared beforehand. Guys, lock in with me here. That means that before God created the sun, before he created the star, before he created the universe, everything, he knew in his mind that he was going to create you exactly the way you were. That's crazy. Like, that's cool. He knew that before he created everything that's so awesome in this universe. He said, I'm going to make them exactly the way they are. That's some of the coolest stuff in the Bible right there. Third thing is that we should walk in them. Every single one of us has special gifts. And we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks exactly what that looks like and then what to do with that. But he created us with these special gifts, not to just say, cool, I'm really athletic. Cool, I'm going to go play ball next year. Okay, cool, I can sing really well. And then just go do my thing. Because who's seen the 30 for 30 broke? These NFL players, they get all this money, and then they're broke like the next year. Or how many super talented rock stars or rap artists end up broke or end up in trouble? They take all this talent, and they don't use it for God's glory, and they use it for selfish desires. And then it just goes terribly wrong. So then you say, okay, Ryan, so I see what you're saying here. So what do I do with it? And if we're honest here, you're in one of two camps, okay? The first camp looks like this. The first camp looks like, Ryan, that's awesome what you're saying, but I'm cool with who I am. I know that God's made me special. I know I'm a little weird here, a little this there, but I'm cool with who God has made me. If you were like me in middle school, that was not me. I didn't think like that. So if you were like me in middle school, you would be in the second camp. And the second camp is quite simple. You're really not happy with God and the way he made you. I mean, if we're just being real, like you're kind of mad at him. God, why did you make me short? Or why did you make me this skin color? Or why am I not tall? Why am I not funny? Why do I have to work so hard in school when other people just show up and they make A's? Why do I have blue eyes instead of green eyes? Have you ever thought about that? Why do you have a certain color hair instead of this color hair? Why does it change over time? Why did God, before he created everything in the universe, why did he think, it's best in all of my knowledge and all of my power to make them with blonde hair? Have you ever thought of that? Like, why? And so we're going to answer that tonight, and I'm going to tell you what to do. Here's three things. So go ahead. On the next slide, I'll give you the three things to do. Here's some application for you. The first thing is going to be stop trying to be somebody you were not created to be. Stop trying to be the guy or the girl next to you. Stop trying to be that guy or that girl on the TV. You were not designed to be them, so you will never be them. And that should be the greatest news in the world. God didn't think it would be best to have one more of them. He saw it best to make you exactly the way you were. Guys, if you're goofy, dude, rock that. Straight up, rock that. I have a girlfriend. Not bragging, but I have a girlfriend. And as we're dating, I've got to know her a little bit well. I'd hope so. I've got to know her better, and she is the goofiest person I know. And I know some of y'all know her here, and feel free to tell her. I'll hear about it later. But I absolutely love that. When we went on our first date, in the first 30 minutes of the dinner, she was talking to her imaginary friend. I should have gotten up and walked out, or maybe asked the manager to maybe comp my meal because I was doing this crazy girl a favor. But dude, I loved it. She got caught three times by the waiter talking to her imaginary friend, and it was absolutely amazing. And as we've got to know each other, she's become more comfortable in who she is and who God created her to be. And because of that, I love her even more. And when she does that, the real her comes out, and I see the real her that God created her to be, and I absolutely love that. So if you're goofy, rock it. If you're nerdy, rock that. Dude, we need nerdy people all up in this joint. Yeah. Dude, nerdy people make all the money. Nerdy people make all our medicine, all the sci-fi movies, yeah. Star Trek or Star Wars, yeah. Whatever. I've never seen Star Trek. I don't know how I started off with that, but to me, that's like the nerdiest thing I've ever heard of. So dude, we need that stuff, man. If God made you like that, rock it. Dude, if you're athletic, be athletic as you can be and give all the glory to God. And not like, I made that basket, but real glory to God. And be a leader. Be a leader. Dude, if he made you weird, rock that. However he made you, do that and do that for his glory. Man, and just watch the real you come out. It's the coolest thing in the world. It's the coolest thing in the world. Here's the second thing, is stop comparing yourself to others. Stop comparing yourself to others. Somebody told me this, and I thought it was pretty good, and it said, comparison is the thief of all joy. It's the thief of all joy. If you're sitting there and you're comparing yourself to this guy, or you're comparing yourself to this girl, it's really not fair, because did God make two of you to be exactly the same? No. He made them to be like them, and he made you to be like you. So how is that even fair that you're comparing yourself? He made y'all two completely different. And if you live by their acceptance, you will die from their rejection. If you live for their acceptance, you will die from their rejection. So what that means is if you build up for people's approval, if you build this foundation and you stand on it, and so if this is people's approval and you stand on it and you stand on it, the first time that they don't like something you say, or the first time that they don't like something you do or something you wear or someone you date or this or hang out or whatever, it'll completely fall before your feet and you'll come crashing down. Because if your life isn't set upon the foundation of God that is consistent and is the rock, it will surely crumble before you. And here's the third thing, guys. Find your identity in Christ. So everybody, that paper that is underneath your seat, go ahead and grab that. A friend of mine gave this to me, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And it kept it pretty short, so I'm like that too. Just real quick sentences. And if you can just read that, then that's who you are in Christ. So it's kind of like this, guys. So what does it mean to be in Christ? So check it out. Being in Christ means this, because that kind of sounds kind of confusing sometimes. So being in Christ is kind of like this. When God looks at you, he knows that you're messy. Dude, he knows you're awkward and weird and goofy and you don't make sense sometimes and maybe you're a little hypocritical. He knows that. But listen, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, it's like you have on this cloak. And yes, God can see through the cloak, but he doesn't count those things against you. Because you have on the cloak of Jesus Christ. Because like Brad said, 2,000 years ago when he sent his son to die, he went ahead and he took all that awkwardness, all those wrong thoughts, all those wrong things that you did, and that's past, present, and future sins. And he said, I'm not going to count that against you. My son lived the perfect life. He took your spot. And that cloak is Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you. Go ahead and hit the next slide. So I got a question for you guys tonight. What would the world look like if we saw ourselves the way God does? What would the world look like if we looked at the person next to us, to the left and to the right of us, and we saw them the way that God sees us? You think there'd be all this hate? Think there'd be all this comparison? No. We're all made different. We're all made specifically and exactly the way that God wants us made. We don't need to compare. Every year when the Victoria's Secret thing comes on, I absolutely hate it. I get off of Facebook. That's not real. Girls, that is not real. I thought I was weird when I was younger because I was never into that. That's not a real thing. And guys, when you see these superhero bodies, maybe for some of you, you can do that. That 0.001%, that's not real. You don't have to compare yourself because your identity is found in Christ. So I want to challenge you tonight with that paper that you have in your hand before you go to bed tonight. And it'd probably be awesome if you woke up and you read that every morning. Read those things out loud. Read them out loud. Could you get away with it and I would never know about it? Sure. Dude, you're not reading it for me. I know who I am in Christ. That's for you guys. Read them out loud. Go to bed with it, reading out loud tonight. Start your day with it tomorrow, reading out loud. See how different your days become. See how different they become. Because guys, I know this. I know this right here. You will never, ever fully understand who you are or what in the world God created you to do until you know the one who created you. You will never know who you are truly until you know the one that created you, and that's God. So guys, let's pray.